This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we're going to have a session on the explanation of the words, and then we're going to have a session on the lessons that are extracted from Surah Al-Fatiha. Okay? So your Quran lesson is basically divided into two parts. All right? Now, do you see these letters? Do you see the letters? Under Bismi, we have Seen, Meem, Waw. Under Allah, we have Hamza, Lam, Ha. Under Ar-Rahman, we have Ra, Ha, Meem. Right? You see all these letters? These letters are called root letters. What are they called? Root letters. When you think of the word root, what comes to your mind? The root of a plant or a tree. What is the root of the plant? What is the root of the tree? The origin, the base, the foundation, right? So similarly, in the Arabic language, we have root letters which are the origin of the word. What are they? The original letters of a word. From these letters, we get the different words. So for example, the word ism comes from the root letters Seen, Meem, Waw. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, both originate from the root letters Ra, Ha, Meem. Alright? So you understand the concept? In Arabic, we have basic root letters, which are the original letters of a word. Alright? Inshallah, we'll go into detail of what exactly root letters are at another time. But right now, to understand the lesson, you have to know just this much at least, that root letters are the origin of the word. They are the basic letters of the word, foundation of the word. Alright? And these are important to know to analyze the word linguistically. Remember we learned that word analysis is about analyzing the words linguistically. That's one of the main things. Alright? So these are the root letters. Inshallah, when I do the word analysis, when I go into the details of the word, then we will discuss the root letters as well. So before moving on, we will look at the meaning of the Quran, the meaning of the word surah, the meaning of the word ayah, the meaning of أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and then the meaning of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. These handouts are being given to you, and this is to help you take notes in class. Because in your juz, you don't have the words Al-Quran or Surah or Ayah written, nor do you have A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem written in the way that the rest of the Quran is written. So you have to know what that means as well. Therefore, this sheet has been provided to you. And you will see that in this sheet, you have several boxes, several columns. Right? For example, one is the translation, another is the root letters, and another is the meaning. So whenever I'm explaining a word, you have to make sure that you get these three things. You have to know what the translation is. You have to make sure that you know the root letters. And you also have to make sure that you know the meaning that I give. Right? Which is the explanation of the word. Everybody has it? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So Al-Quran, what is the linguistic meaning of the word Quran? What does the word Al-Quran mean? There are several meanings of the word Quran. Now, I know that you want to get everything down on paper, but your main focus should not just be writing. Make sure you understand. Make sure you understand right now as well. So Al-Quran, what does it mean? Al-Quran has several meanings, linguistic meanings. First of all, it is said that the word Quran means the recitation. And the word Quran is a noun. Grammatically, it is a noun. And this noun is derived from, what does it mean by derived from? Meaning the origin of the word is قرأ يقرأ. The root letters are قاف را همزة. What are the root letters? قاف را همزة. قرأ يقرأ means to read, to recite. So قرآن, a noun, what does that mean? Recitation. What does it mean? Recitation. And in particular, قرآن. Okay? Do you hear the word قرآن? رحمن. You see the آن sound? عطشان. غضبان. This آن sound at the end, right, that you hear, this gives the meaning of excessiveness. It gives the meaning of, it conveys the meaning of excessiveness. When something is done in excess. When something is done a lot. So Quran does not just mean recitation. But what does it mean? That which is recited a lot. So this Quran is a book that is to be recited again and again and again. You see, many times in our Muslim families, the focus is on just completing the Quran once. Isn't it so? And we make it such a big deal. I've read the Quran once. I've read the Quran twice. No. Quran is a book that should be read and recited over and over and over again. Quran is recited in salah. Quran is recited at so many occasions. It is a book that is to be recited a lot. Another meaning of the word Quran is that which is joined together. That which is combined together. And if we take this meaning of the word Quran, then it is derived from قَرَانَ. You see قَاف رَا نُون in the word Quran? Do you see? قَاف رَا نُون in Quran. Do you see these three letters? I want a response. Yes. Okay. So it is said that the root letters of the word Quran are قَرَانَ. And قَرَانَ means to join together. Okay? What does قَرَانَ mean? To join together. Have you heard of the term حَجْ قِرَان? Some of you have heard of the term حَجْ قِرَان. What is that? It is a Hajj in which a person combines his Hajj with Umrah. Okay? Combined together. Joined together. So Quran is that in which something is combined together. What is combined together? What is joined together? What is collected in the Quran? Surahs, ayat, so many chapters, so many verses, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is the Quran given the name Quran? First of all, because it is recited again and again. Secondly, because in it, the surahs, the verses, they're all joined together. Thirdly, it is also said that the word Qur'an is a proper noun and it is not derived from any other word. It is not derived from any root. However, this is a very minority opinion. So this was the meaning of the word Qur'an. This was the linguistic meaning. So what is joined together in the Qur'an? Surahs. So let's look at the meaning of the word surah. What does surah mean? Chapter. Chapter of what? The Quran. But why is the word surah used? What does it mean by the word surah? What is the linguistic meaning of the word surah? It is said that the word surah, it means literally an enclosure or a fencing. Just imagine a place that is surrounded, that is enclosed with a fence. Just imagine your backyard that has a fence around it. This is the literal meaning of the word. And this word is derived from the root letters Sin, Waw, Ra. What are the root letters? Sin, Waw, Ra. From Sara, Yasuru. And Sara, Yasuru means to surround something with a wall. Okay? So Surah is an enclosure, a fencing, something that encloses that which is inside it, that which is within it. This is the literal meaning of the word surah. So when you think of this meaning, what do you understand? Huh? That the surah has enclosed within it what? The surah of the Quran has enclosed within it ayat, verses. Isn't it so? Like for example, in Surah Al-Fatiha, you have 7 verses that are enclosed within Surah Fatiha. They are not mixed with Surah Al-Baqarah. Isn't it? They are not confused with Surah Al-Baqarah. You can't say, oh no. Just let me take this ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha and let me put it in Surah Al-Baqarah. I like it. No. You can't do that. The surahs, they have enclosed certain verses within them. Alright? So this is the first meaning of the word surah. Another meaning of the word surah is an elevated plane. A plane, a piece of land that is elevated, that is raised up high. From what? From the rest of the land that is around it. Just imagine a piece of land that is elevated from the rest of the area that is around it. What happens to that piece of land? It immediately gets your attention. Isn't it so? For example, if you're traveling, plain, flat land, and all of a sudden you see a mountain, what are you going to see? The flat land or the mountain? The mountain, right? Similarly, there is a plain, flat, empty room, and the only thing inside it is a table. What are you going to look at? The floor or the table? The table. So something that is elevated immediately attracts your attention. And something that is elevated is also of high status. It is also of high status. So a chapter of the Quran is called surah. Why? Because it is elevated in its rank, in its status, more than any other chapter that could be out there in the world. More than any other speech in the dunya. The surah of the Quran is not an ordinary surah. Every surah is elevated. Every surah deserves our attention. Every surah deserves our reflection. Every surah deserves that we must reflect upon it and act upon it. Because the surah of the Quran is of elevated status. And you know, from the root letter Sin Waw Ra, which is the root of the word surah, there is another word, which is the word siwar. Do you know what siwar means? Asawir. What does that mean? Bracelets. Bracelets. What do bracelets do? They adorn. They decorate. They beautify a person. Isn't it so? And also if you think about it, sometimes a bracelet, it is made of what? Several gems or pearls that are joined together. So a surah is a collection of verses. It is a collection of verses. So this is the meaning of the word surah. How many surahs are there in the Quran? 114. And technically, a surah is a group of verses in the Quran that are arranged in a specific manner. What comes after the surah? What is in a surah? Ayah. So let's look at the meaning of the word ayah. The word ayah has several meanings in the Arabic language. In fact, the word ayah has been used in several different ways in the Quran. The first meaning of the word ayah is a sign, an indication. The second meaning of the word ayah is a lesson. There is an ayah for you in this. What does that mean? There is a lesson for you in this. Thirdly, the word ayah means a miracle. And fourthly, the word ayah means a verse or a sentence. So keeping all of these four meanings of the word ayah in mind, what is an ayah of the Quran? An ayah of the Quran is a verse of the Quran, a sentence in the Quran. And every sentence is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The four meanings of ayah are? What are they? Sign, lesson, miracle, verse. So it is a verse that is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it contains lessons for mankind. Every ayah contains lessons for mankind to benefit from. And it also has admonitions for the believers as well as the disbelievers. How many verses are there in the Quran? There are several opinions. However, the Mus'haf that you have in front of you, that one has 6,236 verses. What is a sentence made of? What is a verse made of? Word. What is the Arabic word for the word, word? Huh? Lafz. So now we will look at the meaning of lafz. Lafz is from the root lam, fa, wa. Do you see these three letters in the word lafz? Do you see them? Lam, fa, wa. Do you see them? Yes. Okay. So these are the root letters. Lafa, lafa, wa. Literally means, in the Arabic language, to throw something out, to emit, to throw something out. For example, it is said, لَفَظَ الْبَحْرُ سَمَكَ. The bahr, the sea, what did it do? It threw out the fish onto the shore. The sea threw out the fish onto the shore. The fish was in the sea, and now the sea threw it out, so it is stuck on the shore. So lafz is that which is thrown out, that which is emitted, that which is enunciated, that which is spoken. If you think of it, words, there's so many words, so many thoughts going on in our heads, isn't it? Even when you're silent, there's so many things going on in your head. Correct? When you speak, what do? You throw out some word. Right? So a word is that which is spoken, that which is enunciated. And there are a total of 77,437 words in the Quran. That seems like such a big number. We learned that we're going to study the word-to-word translation of the entire Quran. Doesn't that scare you? 77,000 words? Does that scare you? No? Alhamdulillah, that's very good. Very good, it doesn't scare you. But can I tell you something? The words of the Quran are repeated a lot. As you can see in Surah Al-Fatiha, if you know the meaning of Al once, can you not apply it everywhere you see it? Yes. You see the word Rahman, Rahama, Rahman, Rahim, similar meanings. Just in this surah, so many words have been repeated again and again. So don't get scared by the fact that there are 77,000 words in the Quran. Many of the words are repeated. Okay, what is a lafz made of? Huh? Harf, huruf, letters. What does harf literally mean? Harf is a letter, and literally it means the edge of something. Like, for example, the edge of a cliff. What is it? The edge. When you think of the edge, what does that show you? What does that tell you? That there's something inside. This is the limit. There's something inside. So the words of the Arabic language, they may appear to be having just one letter or two letters, but they have oceans of meaning within them. They are very deep. The words of the Arabic language, the letters of the Arabic language, they're very meaningful. They come together and they have a lot within them. They convey a whole lot of meaning. And there are 323,671 letters of the Quran in total. What's on a harf? What do you have on the harf, on the letter? A haraka. What is a haraka? What is a haraka? Sign. A vowel sound. Right? So, a haraka is indicated by various symbols, such as you are aware, the fatha, the kasra, the dhamma. And there are other harakat as well. These are just three basic ones that I've mentioned over here. What does the word haraka literally mean? Movement. Haraka literally means movement, to move something. And in order to pronounce a word, what do we have to do? We have to move. Right? We have to move our mouths. And this is something that is very important when it comes to reciting the Quran. If you don't move your mouth, you're not going to be able to recite the Quran properly and correctly. Then we have Juz. The blue book that you have, what do you call it? Juz. And the word Juz, what does it mean? Literally, a portion or a part of a whole. A part that completes something. So how many portions, how many parts are there in the Quran? 30 parts. All of them together form the Quran. They complete the entire Quran. Before we recite the Quran, what do we do? What do we say? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And this statement is called تعوذ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. What is it called? تعوذ. Let's look at the meaning of أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Now you make sure that you write the word-to-word translation, the root letters, and the meaning. Okay, inshallah I will tell you all of them. أعوذ means I seek refuge. أعوذ, I seek refuge. Break this down. A gives the meaning of I, and أعوذ gives the meaning of refuge. أعوذ, I seek refuge. I take refuge. And the word أعوذ is derived from the root letters عين, واو, ذال. What are the root letters? عين, واو, ذال. From عاذ يعوذ. And عاذ يعوذ means to seek the protection of someone against some danger. What does it mean? To seek the protection of someone against some danger. When you're in danger, when you're at risk, what do? You take protection. So this is what عاذ يعوذ means. أعوذ, I seek the protection. With who? With who? I am taking whose protection? I am seeking whose protection? بِاللَّهِ, with Allah. أعوذ بِاللَّهِ, with Allah. And بِاللَّهِ is a combination of بِ and Allah. Allah, you already know. And the letter B gives the meaning of with. This is very interesting. In the Arabic language, words are even made of just one letter. Just as you have in English, a book. A means something, right? It's just one letter. Similarly, in the Arabic language, some words are just made of one letter. And we say one letter, so small, but something so amazing that the letter B in the Arabic language has 17 different meanings. I told you, harf shows that there is something within. Oceans, deep meaning, multiple meaning, various meanings. One letter B, 17 different meanings. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Arabic language, because it is like no other language. Be with Allah, Allah. And Allah is Ismul Jalala. Ismul Jalala. What does that mean? It is the exclusive grand name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Arabic, when you generally refer to words, what do you say? The word such and such. But when you're talking about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not say the word Allah. No, that's not the correct way. You say the Ismul Jalal, the grand name. Because it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is exclusive to Him alone. Nobody else can be given this name. no matter how pious, no matter how righteous, whoever it may be, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves this name. It is His personal name. So, أعوذ بالله. What's the next word? من. Two letters. من. من means from, against. So, أعوذ بالله. I seek protection with Allah. From who? من الشيطان. From the shaytan. And who is a shaytan? He is الرجيم. He is the accursed. Shaytan. Shaytan is derived from shatana, from the root letters sheen, ta, noon. Sheen, ta, noon. And shatana means literally to be far. What does it mean? To be far. And it also means to oppose the truth, to go against the truth. So you tell me, why is shaitan called shaitan? Because he is opposing the truth. Why else? How is he far? In what way is he far? Far away from Allah's mercy. He is far away from the mercy of Allah. He is far away from the truth. This is why he is called shaitan. And what's the characteristic of shaitan? Ash-shaytanir rajim. Al-rajim means the accursed. What does it mean? The accursed. Al, the rajim, accursed. And the word rajim is derived from rajm. Al-rajim, the root letters are ra, jim, mim. Rajm. What does that mean? Rajm literally means to stone, to throw stones at someone. Why would someone throw stones at another? Think about it, why? To drive them away, to push them away, to expel them. So the characteristic of shaitan is that he is al-rajim, he is accursed, he is expelled. We say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, to expel him, to push him away, to remove him far away from us. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Now you may open up your juz, and inshallah we will study Surah Al-Fatiha. Are you understanding everything? For Allah, the root letters are Hamza, Lam, Ha. Now, I'm sure that everybody is trying to make sure that you write everything, right? But it is possible that you miss out some information, isn't it so? Obviously, it's going to happen. Now, there's two things that you can do. Either you can ask other people around you right now, and make sure that you get the notes. And when you do that, you will disturb them, and it might take longer, and you may lose out on something else. Isn't that possible? And the other option is that you complete your notes after the class. How will you do it after the class? Inshallah, in the group time, you can ask your group in charge. When you're studying together, you make sure you have all the root letters. You have the meaning. If you've missed something out, a reference or something, you make sure at that time that you have all of your notes. But I discourage you from asking during the class, because you will disturb other people, and at the same time you might lose out on something else as well. Okay? So the best thing is to do it after class, inshallah. Okay, let's move on to Surah Al-Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Surah Al-Fatiha has 7 verses, 25 words, and 113 letters. Surah Al-Fatiha is a Makki surah. What does that mean? That it was revealed before the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina. It was revealed in the Meccan era. And Surah Al-Fatiha is the 5th surah to be revealed in chronology. And it is the first surah to be revealed in its entirety. Al-Fatiha, which is the name of the surah, literally means the opening. Al-Fatiha, the name of the surah, literally means the opening. And it is derived from the root letters Fataha. Fataha. Fataha literally means to open something. What does it mean? To open something. It is also said that fataha is actually to remove a block or to remove the confusion from something. Just imagine a room with a door. The door is blocking access into the room. Fatah al-bab is to open up the door, to remove the block so that you can enter. So al-fatiha, the opening. And fataha is also to remove the confusion from something so that it becomes clear. Why is this surah called al-fatiha? Because it is the opening of the Quran. It is the opening surah, the opening chapter of the Quran. The surah is also called al-fatiha because it is the opening of salah. When you pray salah, immediately after the hamd, what do you recite? Suratul Fatiha. So this surah is called Al-Fatiha because it is the opening of the Qur'an, the beginning of the Qur'an, and it is also the opening of salah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, meaning Suratul Fatiha, is the mother of the book. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is the mother of the book. And it is the 7 repeated ayat of the glorious Quran, Tirmidhi. So from this hadith we find out that Suratul Fatiha also has another name. What is that name? Mother of the book. And the Arabic term for that is Ummul Kitab. Meaning mother, and Kitab meaning book. So Ummul Kitab, mother of the book. Why is Suratul Fatiha called Ummul Kitab? You see, the mother, it is the foundation of something. Isn't it? The foundation of something. So Suratul Fatiha is like the foundation of the Quran. If a person is able to understand the message of Suratul Fatiha, if a person is able to accept the message of Suratul Fatiha, the rest of the Quran comes along. The rest of the Quran is also easy. Because all the main concepts, the main themes are mentioned in Suratul Fatiha. So it is the mother of the book. There are also other names of the surah. For example, Suratul Fatiha is also called As-Salah, the prayer. It is also called As-Salah, the prayer. It is also called As-Shifa. What does As-Shifa mean? The cure. It is also called Ar-Ruqya, the remedy. It is also called Al-Hamd, the praise. It is also called Al-Asas, the foundation. And it is also called Fatihatul Kitab, which is opening of the book. When something has more than one name, when something has multiple names, what does that show you? The importance. It has so many different names, so many different titles, so many different descriptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have multiple names. And Surah Al-Fatiha has multiple names. Why? Because it is the greatest surah of the Quran. Why has Surah Al-Fatiha been given several names? Because it is the greatest surah of the Quran. What's the evidence for that, that it's the greatest surah of the Quran? There's a hadith that is mentioned in Al-Bukhari, in which Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu narrated, he said that I was praying in the masjid when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me, and I did not answer him. Why? Because he was praying salah. I said, after the salah, that O Messenger of Allah, I was praying. He said, did not Allah say that respond to Allah and to the Messenger when he calls you? Because you see, he was praying voluntary prayer. And during voluntary prayers, if the Sahaba, they were called by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were required to respond to his call. Then he said, shall I teach you the greatest surah of the Quran before you leave the masjid? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Sa'id, shall I teach you the greatest surah of the Quran before you leave the masjid? And then Abu Sa'id says, he took my hand. When we were about to leave, I said, O Messenger of Allah, you said, I will teach you the greatest surah of the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ replied, praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, meaning Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, are the seven oft-repeated verses and the immense Quran, the glorious Quran that I was given. So from this hadith, we find out that Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah of the Quran. There is another hadith which is mentioned in An-Nasa'i, in which Ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhu, he said that while Jibreel was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard a noise from above. The angel Jibreel, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he heard a noise from above, meaning from the sky. Jibreel lifted his sight to the sky, he looked up, and he said, this is a door in heaven being opened, and it has never been opened before now. A door has been opened up in the heaven, which has never been opened before. An angel descended from that door and came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, receive the glad tidings of two lights that you have been given. What did the angel say? Receive the glad tidings, the good news of two lights that you have been given, which no other prophet before you was given. No other prophet before you was given. And what were the two lights? First of all, the opening of the book, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha, Fatihatul Kitab. And secondly, the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And then the angel continued that you will not read a letter of them, but will gain its benefit. So what do we learn from this hadith? That Surah Al-Fatiha is a big blessing. It was a special gift given to the Prophet ﷺ, not given to any other prophet before him. And every time that a person recites the surah, he will find its benefits. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. It is from the etiquette of reciting the Qur'an that when a person begins the recitation, he should seek protection from the shaitan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Nahl, ayah number 98, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So when you recite the Qur'an, seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan who is the expelled from his mercy. Why? Because when a person goes to do something good, immediately the shaitan becomes very active. And especially when you're in the class, he's going to say, you know what he's going to say. Huh? Sleep. It's taking so long. Immediately when such thoughts come to your mind, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. You think that shaitan would want you to benefit from this surah? To benefit from the Qur'an? He has been trying all your life to keep you away. And now you're on a mission to learn every word of the Qur'an. Obviously, shaitan is going to become extremely active. So before we begin, every time, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan who is accursed. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. بِسْمِ is a combination of bi and ism, with name. And bismi means I begin with name. What does it mean? I begin with the name, meaning by mentioning the name of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean by that? That I begin this journey, I begin this step with the help, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, any time that we start something new in our lives, we have to depend on something. Isn't it so? Even if you're learning to cook, even if you're cleaning something, what do you depend on? Something or the other. Your intellect, time, your energy, your strength, your friends, the books. Isn't it so? You have to rely on so many things. And every time that we begin something important, it is necessary that we begin with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why it is of the proper etiquette that we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before beginning anything that is important. Bismillah. Let's look at Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim linguistically. So Bismi, with name. Bi, as I told you earlier, in Billahi means with. And Ism is the name. What is Ism? The name of something. And the word ism is derived from seen, meme, wow. What is it derived from? Seen, meme, wow. Sumu is the word. And sumu means height. From the same root is the word sama. What does sama mean? Sky. It is high above us. And the word ism is from the same root. What's the connection between the two? What's the connection between the two? Ism is not necessarily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. Ism is anything's name, anyone's name. And height. Height means that which is high above becomes very prominent. Isn't it so? That which is high above becomes prominent. So what is the main prominent thing of anything? Its name. Right? So bismi, with name. With name of who? I begin with the name of who? Bismillah, who is Allah, He is Ar-Rahman, and He is also Ar-Rahim. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they're both derived from the root letters Ra-Ha-Meen. Ra-Ha-Meen. And the main word is Rahmah. Have you heard of the word Rahmah? What does that mean? Mercy, compassion. But in Arabic, the word rahmah means to want what is good for those who deserve it. What does it mean? To want something good for those who deserve it. Iradatul ihsan. The intention to do ihsan, to do good. So rahmah is compassion. It is sympathy. It is kindness. Pity. So Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the one who has mercy, the one who shows mercy. Now you see, both the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, are from the same root. Right? But there has to be a difference between the two. Isn't it? There has to be a difference between the two. What is that difference? It is said that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, gives the meaning of excessiveness of the attribute of mercy. It conveys the meaning of excessiveness of the attribute of mercy. Excessiveness as well as vastness. So Ar-Rahman, the entirely merciful, the one who is most merciful, no one else is more merciful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ar-Rahman also indicates great amount of mercy. One who is excessively merciful, and he is also exceedingly merciful. Meaning he shows mercy again and again and again. And he shows mercy not just to some, but he shows mercy to everyone. He shows mercy to who? To everyone. He is compassionate, he is kind, towards every single creature, even those who do not believe in Him. It is of the mercy of Allah, it is of the kindness of Allah that we are able to breathe. It is of the kindness of Allah that we eat, we have food to eat. We have feet to walk with. We have a house to live in. We have the ability to speak. We have an intellect that thinks. We have the sky above us. We have the earth below us. This is all the mercy of Allah. So Ar-Rahman indicates that He is entirely merciful. He is merciful towards every creature in so many different ways. And you know, from the word Rahmah, the word Rahm is also derived. And that is used for the womb of the mother. What is the womb of the mother? Huh? The child grows over there. He is completely protected. That is where he gets all the nourishment. Completely protected and nourished. So Ar-Rahman, the one who protects, the one who nourishes his creation. And he is also Ar-Rahim. What does the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahim, indicate in particular? It is slightly different from Ar-Rahman. Rahim indicates particularity. That merciful in particular to. Merciful specifically towards. So Ar-Rahman, the one who is merciful towards his entire creation. And Ar-Rahim, the one who has special mercy for his certain creation. So that shows us that one type of mercy is general. And another type of mercy is specific. And that specific mercy is for only those who deserve it. And who are they? Those who believe in Allah. Those who worship Allah. Those who ask for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who ask for assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ar-Rahman, the one who is merciful towards everyone. And Ar-Rahim, the one who shows special mercy towards special creation. Ar-Rahman also indicates that he is merciful to everyone in the dunya. And Ar-Rahim indicates that he will be especially merciful towards some in the hereafter. Those who prove themselves to be those who deserve the mercy of Allah. Alhamdu, all praise. For who? Lillahi, for Allah. Alhamdulillah, all praise is for Allah. What does that mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves all praise. Alhamdu. You see, al generally means the. But sometimes it also gives a meaning of entirely. All of it. So alhamdu means all of the praise. Who deserves it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Now you notice the word hamd has been used, not the word madh, because madh also means praise. And hamd also gives meaning of gratitude, which is why many times in translations you may have read praise and thanks, right? But the word shukr alone has not been used. It's not shukr lillah, it's not madh lillah. What is it? Alhamdulillah. Why the word hamd? Hamd means to mention the most perfect attributes of someone. What does hamd mean? To mention the most perfect attributes of someone. But who is that someone whose most perfect attributes are being mentioned? The one who is praiseworthy. The one who deserves praise. And hamd is such praise that is based on respect and love. It is based on what? Respect and love. Meaning, the one who is doing hamd, the one who is praising the other, he is doing it out of love. He is doing it out of respect. Many times, people praise others, but they don't respect them at all. Many times, people praise others, but they don't love them at all. The word hamd has been used because it is to mention the most perfect attributes, and it is also such praise that is based on love and respect. So in other words, it is praise that is very sincere. It is praise that the one who is being praised, he deserves it. And it is praise that is sincere. And the word hamd also includes the meaning of gratitude. Because the one who is offering such praise, why is he doing it? Why is he doing it? Out of thanks. Out of gratitude. So, alhamdu all praise, sincere praise, out of love, out of respect, with gratitude, all of that, who deserves it? Lillahi, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He is, continue reading the ayah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, because He is the Rabb of the world. What does it mean by Rabbil Alameen? Rabb is from the root letters Ra, Ba, Ba. Ra, Ba, Ba. And Rabb means to gradually nurture something. Rabba Yaribbu means to gradually nurture something. Like for example, you have a seed. You sow it on the ground. You continue to water it. You make sure it gets sufficient sunlight. You make sure it's not out there in the cold. You protect it. You nurture it. And eventually it will grow into a very healthy plant. So Rabba Yaribbu is to nurture something so that it reaches its stage of completion and perfection. What does it mean? To nurture something, to look after something, so that it reaches its stage of completion and perfection. This is the literal meaning of Rabba Yaribbu. From the same root, there is a word Rabbatul Bayt. And this is used for a woman. Why? The woman of the house, the woman who takes care of the house, manages the house. The way a woman loves her house, the man doesn't. The way a woman loves her furniture, the man doesn't. The way a woman loves her kitchen, the man doesn't. Isn't it? And the way she takes care of the house, the man doesn't. Isn't that true? So, Rabbatul Bayt is also used for a woman because she takes care of, she looks after the house. So Rabb, who does Rabb refer to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said that Rabb refers to three things. First of all, Rabb gives the meaning of Khaliq. Khaliq. What does that mean? Creator. So Rabb is Khaliq, the creator. Secondly, Malik. What does Malik mean? Owner. The one who has complete authority over something. He has complete ownership as well as authority over something. So, Khaliq, Malik. And the third meaning is Mudabbir. What does Mudabbir mean? Planner. The one who plans. The one who plans all of the affairs, all of the matters of a particular thing. But over here you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is not just the Rabb of one thing, of just the human beings, of just the angels, of just the plants, of just the animals. No, He is Rabbil Alameen. Al-Alameen. He is the Rabb, He is the creator, the master, the planner of Al-Alameen, of the entire worlds. Al-Alameen is the plural of the word alam. It is the plural of the word alam. And alam is from alam. Alam literally means a sign. What is it? A sign. An indication of something. The word alam is also used for a flag. What does the flag do? It indicates a particular team or country, whatever. So alam, alameen, is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it called Alameen? What does it show? What does it indicate? What does it prove? The existence of a creator. The existence of a creator. Everything, every being, every object points to the existence of its creator, of its maker. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the entire world. It is also said that Alameen, the entire creation, has been called Alameen. Why? Because if you think about it, human beings, they have a world. Not in the physical sense, the world of the human being. We have the world of the jinn, the world of the animals, the world of the plants. Right? So all of these different worlds that exist, who made them? Who owns them? Who plans every matter pertaining to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, alhamdulillah, all praise, sincere praise, true praise, for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is the Rabb of the entire world. He is the Rabb of the entire existence. Fir'aun, he asked Musa alayhi salam, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Fir'aun asked, what is this Lord of the worlds? Musa alayhi salam replied, قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُوقِنِينَ Allah, He is the Lord of the entire heavens, whatever is above us. And the entire earth, everything that it has. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا And whatever that is between the two. So Allah, He is the Rabb of the entire worlds. How? He is the Rabb of the heavens, the earth, and whatever that is between them. So if He is the creator, the maker, the organizer, the manager of the entire heavens, the entire earth, does He not deserve praise? Does He not deserve obedience? If He is the one who made all of this, if He is the one who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, does He not deserve praise? Of course He does. If we find out about a manager of a very big company, we get so impressed. What is that manager? Just managing one thing? We are not even able to manage our lives. We are not able to manage our notebooks, our books, our houses, our cutlery, our kitchen stuff. We are not able to manage even one thing. Allah, He is Rabb of Al-Alameen, of the entire existence. Therefore, Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah. What is the message that you're going to take home for yourself? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is for Allah, the Lord of the world. Okay?
Let's listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
After the lesson comes, homework. Alright? So your homework is to try to memorize the word-to-word translation, not the running translation, the word-to-word translation of Surah Al-Fatiha. How will you do it? How will you do it? You say out the Arabic word, and then you say out its translation. Okay? Several times. For example, try doing it 5 times, try doing it 6 times, 7 times, until you have mastered it. And inshallah, tomorrow in the groups, you will be reviewing the word-to-word translation with your group in charge. Okay?